B-I-L-L-B-U-R-R-Bilber Monday Morning Podcast.
Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for August 12th, 2013. How you doing? How'd you like that intro? Wasn't that pretty cool? That was actually, you're probably going, who were those fine singers? Jesus Christ, that was that just human beings doing that by themselves? No auto-tune? Was Kanye West not in there with a leather fucking skirt on singing about getting his dick sucked despite the fact he just had a baby daughter? One of my ears is ringing. I hate when this happens. Anybody else have hearing damage? Come on, stop ringing. Every once in a while, one of my ears just goes, and then it fucking, you know, like some heavy metal singer from fucking decades ago. Like saying, remember your childhood and your acid wash jeans. Anyways, that was the members of Truth and Salvage Company. I got to know those guys. I was getting through boozing. I met their drummer, Bill Smith. I was out on a drunken night, and he came over to me, and he said, hey, my name's Bill also. Why don't you tone it down, you freckled cunt? And I had to respect him. No, I'm kidding. They have a new album out called Pick Me Up that's available on iTunes, and a new single called Appalachian Hilltop. If you actually like human beings, if you like... if you like some sort of heartbeat in like your music at this point, you know, not saying that you guys out there on your designer drugs, eating each other's faces, watching some guy with a mouse head and your glow sticks is not a good time. You know, if I got sucked into heavy metal, you know, when I was coming up in the 80s, if I was coming up now, I would fucking, I'd probably be there. I definitely would be. I'd sit there jumping up and down in unison as that guy played his stereo in some club. Am I doing the thing that all old people do? I get fearful and I'm just trashing all the new stuff. I was reading something recently when Airplanes first came out. Actually, believe it or not, people, sometimes I do read. And I was reading this book about when Airplanes first came out, and this guy was pitching. We basically, all we had the Army and the Navy, and that was it. And this somebody in one of those branches, because I already fucking forget, because every other word reminds me of something in my life, and I just start thinking, you know. Tom Sawyer got on a boat. Oh, I remember I got on a boat. Yeah, I remember that dinghy in that kid's pool party, and I flipped over, and I got trapped underneath, and then my eyes keep going, and like six pages go by, and I have no fucking idea what I read. So I can't remember the guy's fucking name. And I think we just had an Army and a Navy at this point. And this was, I don't know, in the teens, maybe the 20s of last, I'll just say last century, as opposed to people who try to confuse you and go the 20th century, you know. The 18th century, 1800s was the 19th century. You got to do that fucking carry the one shit. Last century. All right. And he basically said to the Army and the Navy, he was like, hey, man, like, these planes, man, they're going to, like, change shit. And, like, I don't know if you guys are going to be ready for it, man. And all the old guard were like, go fuck yourself with your goddamn Kleenex and your dental floss and your little lawnmower motor that you have in that thing, engine, right? Fuck you. What are you going to do to me? My iron side's over here. So he's like, well, listen, man, like, I don't really want to take it to that level, but why don't you put one of your badass boats out there and we'll bring our fucking planes over and see what happens. So they said, all right. So they're sitting there laughing at him and shit, and they got this fucking thing that's like six, I don't know, it's really thick and it's really hard to sink. And they keep little lawnmower fucking engines, and they sank the fucker in like 12 minutes. And there was actually Navy admirals crying. They couldn't believe it. They were out of a fucking job, they thought. So anyways, is that what I'm doing when it comes to, like, dubstack? That shit? Like, I guess I should be into it. I don't know. I like these guys, Truth and Salvage Company. They have my stamp of approval, if it means anything. I saw them when they opened for the Black Crowes Where the fuck were we? Somewhere in L.A. I don't know what. So I don't know. If you like that kind of music, give these guys a shot. If you're into other kinds of music, just keep listening to that shit. I don't give a fuck, but I don't need to hear your fucking reviews of it, okay? I'm just suggesting. This is how defensive being on Twitter makes you. Because no matter what you suggest, you could just say something simply like, you know, ice cream is delicious. And then, what kind of flavor you get? Actually, that's not all natural. You know, the fucking Samoans invented it. You know, and you just got to deal with these fucking cunts. This is coming from a cunt. All right? So whatever. Now, I feel bad because I only mentioned Bill Smith in the band. And I probably just fucking created a bunch of infighting in their van. Right? If you're in a fucking band, you got to be riding around in a van, don't you? Isn't that how it works? Anyways, let's plow ahead, shall we, people? I am still here in New Orleans. As you can tell, the quality of this podcast, the audio at the very least, okay, is much better than last week's because the lovely Nia actually sent out my power strip or the cord, whatever the fuck you call it. And so at least you can hear me. At least you can hear the attempts. You can hear the big swing and a miss. Hey, I got to tell you something. I actually was actually rooting for Alex Rodriguez this week. You know? I really was. Not because I like the guy. Not because I'm all of a sudden a fucking Yankee fan. The Bed Bath and Beyond of the Major League Baseball community. I just realized, yeah, their uniforms look like towels. Very nice towels, but towels nonetheless. I'm sorry, I'm drinking some water here. I burned my tongue. Isn't that the fucking worst? I ordered room service. I got a grilled cheese and tomato soup, as old people do. And I uncovered the tomato soup, which was way too fucking hot. And I had the grilled cheese there. So I'm an American. I can't just eat the grilled cheese. I got to take that grilled cheese and I got to dunk it into the fucking piping hot tomato soup. So I stick it in my fucking pie hole. Big bite of that shit. It's lava hot. So what do I do? I use my brain. My brain says, hey, Bill, that's like you're not going to have much tongue left if we don't do something about this. How about grabbing something cold? So my right hand was like, oh, I got this, and reached over to that nice ice cold glass of water. But they had plastic on top of it, cellophane, so it wouldn't spill when the lovely lady brought it up to the room. So my right hand's like, you know, this ain't going to fucking work. And then the rest of my body went into panic mode. And I went, bwah! And I just spit it out instantly. I thought it was actually a smart move. But I immediately started laughing, thinking that would have been the greatest Vine ever. Or one of a nice one anyways. Is Bill Burr eats Burns' tongue? Is that what it was? I mean, you know, can you actually do a Vine where it's actually just one thing? And it's not a bunch of shit spliced together? I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm just saying I burned my goddamn tongue. All right, people? I'm just trying to tell a story. I fucking puked that thing out like you ever see a snake when it's in the middle of eating and all of a sudden you walk up to it and it's like, oh, fuck, I think I'm going to get eaten. And then it just sort of opens its mouth and that yak comes out of it. And then the snake's sitting there like, now what's up? Huh? You want to do this? Basically, walking up to a snake while it's eating is like what happened to me when I went to that Buffalo Bills game with my Patriots hat on, and they waited till I was taking a piss, all right, with my Johnson out, and then they pushed me in the back because that's what they do up there in the City of Lights. Other than eating their fucking wings and losing Super Bowls, they wait till you got your dick out in Buffalo. Don't ever forget that, all right? So when you go up there to the falls over there in Niagara, all right, and all of a sudden you get that sensation that you got to take a piss looking at all the water. Just know that the great grandson of Joe DeLamelier, whatever the fuck you said his name, you know, Fred Smirlis Jr. might fucking push you in the back is all I'm saying. All right? Not trying to cause any static with that great city, formerly great city, that city that will rise again. Like Cleveland, like Detroit, like Des Moines. Did I ever tell you guys how much I love those cities? I like them. I'm a fan of architecture. And when I go there, I always just look and I'm like, this eventually this fucking place is going to blow up in a good way. I mean that in a hip-hop kind of way. Look at me. Look at me straddling the fence of my whiteness. This is another sign that I'm getting old. I have a real problem with that new Kanye West album that, you know, because I want to settle down and be a fucking parent and all that type of shit. So I look up to other people that finally fucking do it. And I'm thinking, oh, is this guy going to, you know, is he going to be changed somehow with this new fucking album? And it's just still talking about losing his diamond ring in some girl's snatch. Isn't that what it's all about? I don't know. Sometimes I'm glad I look the way I look. And I was never able to enter the club scene other than to be ushered quickly back out the side door. Anyways, what are we talking about here? This is the Monday Morning Podcast, and I hope you're having a nice August. The summer's coming to a close, but you know, this is the golden age of global warming. Water's a little warmer. It's just starting to tickle your toes. But you don't have to worry about getting eaten by a shark yet in your fucking living room. So, you know, I think you might get an extra 3 weeks, 3 weeks of the summer. You know what's the greatest is the football season is starting. And, you know, I've become a huge college football fan over the years. And I actually realized that my LSU Tigers, my adopted, okay, before anybody in Baton Rouge gets mad at me, like, man, you ain't from here. You ain't from here. Don't be calling them your Tigers. They're our Tigers. Because that's what everyone in the South sounds like to me. All right? Whether you do or you don't, you do. In between my ringing ears. Evidently, they're starting their season, and they're guess who they're playing? Guess who's back in my life? TCU! Come on, Frogs! They're playing those jackasses on the kickoff day. I know Alabama's playing somebody else. I don't know who the fuck they're playing. Alabama. Can you believe those? You see what those cunts did this week? You see what they did to fucking the Aggies? You know that came from them. That horse shit about Johnny Manziel signing shit. You know that came from an Alabama booster. You know it did. You know it. You know why? You know why I think it came from them? Because they're fucking scared. They're scared that that skinny motherfucker is going to run all around the field like the white Michael Vick. All right? And he's going to fucking beat their asses again. I actually saw the replay at the end of the game last year where, Jesus Christ, you never saw sadder looking faces when they cut to the stands after that interception right down there in the end zone. Tremendous. Oh, look at that. I'm looking out on the Mississippi River. There goes a paddle boat. One of those Tom Sawyer ones. You know, way back in the day when food was fresh and everybody was dropping the N-word every other word. Right? We were exterminating the Indians. Oh, what a beautiful piece of history. All right, what am I doing here? Is it time to do a little advertising, would you say? Well, I don't give a shit. I'm in control of this thing, all right? I'm running this motherfucker. All right, Dollar Shave Club, everybody. You know, there are so many things in this world that irritate me. Canadians fans, script tattoos, people who get to the front of the line and shoot the shit with the ticket agent rather than just getting their fucking ID out and getting on the goddamn plane. Right? With so many things in the world that irritate you, why would you let razors add to it? What I'm trying to say is stop milking your razor blade. Okay? I know what the brand name razors are. This is going to be a bad week of reading. Come on, Bill. Pull it together. It's the first quarter. All right? We already burned a timeout. Fucking get on with it, man. I know with brand name razors, you're used to paying outrageous prices and exhausting those razors until they start to look like rusty soda cans. Let it go. It's time to move on. Dollar Shave Club delivers amazing quality blades to your door for just a few bucks a month. Never think about it again. They send a pack every month for just a few bucks. You can change your blades every week. Trust me, your face will love you for it. I'm using it right now. You should do it too if you want to. I'm not trying to force you to do anything. All right? If you want to keep shaving with that rusty thing, go ahead. Do it. It's your face. Join Dollar Shave Club. Shave time, shave money. You get it? Go to dollarshaveclub.com/burr. That's dollarshaveclub.com/burr. Or click on the Dollar Shave banner at the podcast page, billburr.com. And also, are you like me? Do you like watching TV, but you want to watch it on your own damn time? Hulu Plus, everybody. It's the best way to do it. I'm sure you've tried Hulu.com, but I want to tell you about Hulu Plus, the next level, the first class, if you will. Hulu Plus lets you watch thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere. Stream it on your TV or go with you on your smartphone or tablet. Why stand in line or ride a train and just stare at your feet? Or maybe chat up some girl and get laid? Why would you want to do that when you could be watching your favorite shows on Hulu Plus? Hulu Plus is a great way to binge watch your favorite shows. Hulu Plus has tons of episodes from great comedies like SNL, Community, Modern Family, South Park, Family Guy, and thousands of other shows. And guess what? Hulu Plus is only $7.99 a month. That's $7.99 for all the shows and movies you can watch. Catch up on current shows, binge on an old favorite, or catch a great movie. You can do it all. Where? On Hulu Plus. Right now, you can try Hulu Plus for a couple of weeks free on me when you go to the podcast page at billburr.com and you click on the Hulu Plus banner, or go to huluplus.com/bill. Please make sure you use huluplus.com/bill so you get an extended free trial and so they know that I sent you. It helps us keep the lights on and gives you a better deal. One more time for the extended free trial, huluplus.com/bill. Oh, look at me. Starting off slow, coming back, killing those reads. All right, where the hell am I? Let's get back to the podcast. Got a big couple of weeks coming up, everybody. I want to thank everyone who went out and bought tickets for the show I'm doing. Co-headlining with Brian Regan. Who's kidding? Kidding who I'm opening for the guy. We're doing a show at Cobb's Comedy Club. It is all sold out, and the money is going to charity. And I can't wait to do it. Brian's been one of the, I don't know, how long have I been doing this? 21 years. I've been a huge fan of that guy since the first time I saw him, and I've never got to work with him in this capacity, so I'm really, really excited about doing this. And I'm actually also really interested to see how his fans react to me and my filth. All right, so that's on August 27th, and then August 28th, All Things Comedy Network, the network that I've started with the Daily Show's Al Madrigal, Emmy Award winning Al Madrigal. You like that? I have a friend that won an Emmy. I used to know Al Madrigal when it was Al Madrigal. Now, when I talk to him, I have to go, excuse me, Emmy Award-winning Al Madrigal. Yeah, me, him, and some other guys, we all started this comedy network called All Things Comedy. Just because, you know, we saw podcasts blowing up. An artist always creates scenes, and then they never end up with the money. The businessman comes in, and we own your podcast, and we get all the money, and you get great exposure. Go fuck yourself. Have fun and behind the podcast music on VH1. So we created like a co-op where everybody owns their shit. We all come together like a capsized ship trying to keep the sharks away until the fucking Coast Guard comes. It's called All Things Comedy, and we're doing a live show, our official kickoff of this wonderful network that I'm going to begin blogging on. I've already written a blog, and we're going to get that up hopefully sometime this week. And that's going to be on August 28th at Largo. It's going to be featuring as many people from the the All Things Comedy family. Al's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Tom Papa is going to be there. I believe Tom Segura. We got and those who aren't are going to try to make videos. It's going to be a great night. All right. It's at Largo on La Cienega here in Los Angeles, August 28th. All right. Back to the goddamn podcast. So anyways, the past couple of weeks, I've been talking about the food down here in New Orleans, saying how delicious / unhealthy it is and how you can't find fucking kale. Excuse me as I drink more cold water for my fucking scalded tongue. I actually bought a juicer this week to somehow combat all the fried food that I've been eating. And I started drinking that shit that guy in Fat Dead and Kind of Sick, whatever the fuck it's called. Fat Sick and Nearly Dead. Sick Fatty with Dead fucking something. Whatever. I've been drinking that shit, man. I got to tell you something. It's delicious. Not only is it delicious, you crave it after a while. And yeah, I think I dropped like 4 or 5 pounds. Good pounds, too. You know? The flabby ones. I was joking on Twitter saying how I was in button-down shirt shape. And I actually want to get into like, I want to be in sitting down, no shirt on shape. I don't know what, I know Bill Cosby did a bit on this, but what the fuck happens when you sit down? You stand up and look sideways in the mirror. You're like, all right, you know what? That isn't bad. Dare I say it's kind of cute. Shows that I like the occasional Snickers, right? And you sit there pinching at yourself like you're in an old school Special K commercial going, all right, that's not that bad. That's not that bad. Then you just sit down and like 3 handfuls of shit just lands on your thighs. You know? For the life of me, what happens? Do your hip bones move up to your fucking man tits and everything just gets blown out? I have no idea. But sitting down without a shirt on, you know, that's the truest moment of your fucking physique that you're going to see all day. Stop standing up, sucking in your gut. All right? You want to see the damage you've done? Maybe you're not ready for it. All right? This is like The Ring when you looked at that fucking chick's face. Your jaw just opens up and you land in a fucking walk-in closet. Oh, my God. I don't know what happened to me. I'm not even that bad of shape. So I said, fuck this. I got a juicer, and I just did a quick gig up in Chicago, came right back, this private thing. So I don't know. I ate halfway decent up there. I did find a vegan restaurant, but then, of course, I had some Chicago pizza. So now I came back, and I had my little fucking grilled cheese sandwich and tomato soup. So now my body is starting to pull me back to the dark side. And that's what I've really learned about trying to stay in shape. It's all about keeping your brain out in front of your body. Keeping your fucking wits about you. Like this shit, it's like food. You know, when they say food is a drug, I didn't believe them. But I'm totally convinced of it now. It's like when you're eating bad, when you just go on like a 3-month bender of just eating bad and in your head like, oh, God, I got to stop. Oh, I want a fucking cheeseburger. And you just keep going. And then that makes you want cookies and all that type of shit. It's the food equivalent to like locking yourself in a room and just freebasing for 3 months. That's what you're doing. So what I try to do when I'm eating bad like this, I just talked to a buddy of mine outside of the business who's trying to lose some fucking weight. I was trying to tell him that, like, you got to keep your head out in front of it and just go like, I want that, but I'm going to eat this. Even in that moment when you're looking at that apple as opposed to that fucking glorious whatever you're looking at, right? Toasted roast beef and cheese with the fucking pickles and the chips and all that. The last thing, your body's like, that's what the fuck I want. And you got to reach for that apple. You got to fucking hit that crack pipe instead. And I'm telling you, the second you get 2-3 bites in, you're like, oh, thank God. Thank God I did that. And you're fine. Because from what I've read, the very little I've read, your body it's actually craving nutrition. You know? That's why when you eat Chinese food, like fucking 35 minutes later, you're hungry again because your body's still craving nutrition. There wasn't like a fucking ounce of it in that shit. At the risk of getting sued by that entire fucking continent of China. It's not a continent, it's a country. Go fuck yourself. So that's what I would say. If you can try to do, that's what I'm trying to do. As I'm trying to keep my head out in front of it. So I got that grilled cheese sandwich and I got the tomato soup and I said, all right, I got to get back on the fucking green gumbo here, as I'm calling it, because I'm in New Orleans. And that's it. I'm back on that shit for the last two. Tomorrow morning, I wake up, I make another one. Bingo, bango. I'm trying to do 2 a day juicing and then 1 day having the fucking, a healthy dinner. And then I go on the treadmill for a half hour. There's no fucking way you're not going to drop weight. All right? So there you go. It's So stop doing those stupid-ass fad diets. It's the fucking cornflakes diet. All I do is eat cornflakes. I can eat as much as I want. That bullshit. Eventually. You know what it really is? I think the really it really is not even like, it's not even the fucking diet. It's the, once you get to your weight, what do you do then? You know, once you get down to your weight, at some point, you're going to be looking around. It's like you got out of jail. And there's some ice cream right over there. You're an adult. You don't have to go, Mom, can I have some ice cream? Right? That's how you become a fat fuck as an adult. There's no one to say, hey, you had enough cookies. It's on you. You've had enough booze. Put on a condom. It's all on you. You got to be your own fucking parent until you get a lady in your life. And then she starts fucking nagging at you. Take your shoes off. Hey, get out the rug. Fuck you, lady. Where did you become so angry? So that would be my advice. When you're just on, if right now, if you listen to this shit and you're on a bad fucking road, I'm telling you, one of these days in the future, you're going to wake up. You're going to be sitting down on the side of your bed. You're going to glance into a mirror and you're going to be like, what the fuck? What have I done to myself? You're going to stand up real quick. You're going to try to suck it in and try to deny the truth that you just saw. You hear that? That's the steam engine coming back on the fucking racist genocide 101. The fuck am I to? Yeah, just make yourself eat an apple or just eat a fucking salad. You got to turn the boat around. That's what I'm trying to do. I got to do it. I fucking went back up to like almost $1.90, and now I'm back down to like the mid 170s. It's the fucking worst. Just trying to lose like 15 pounds is the fucking worst. I can't imagine people who got to lose more than that. So, you know, I don't know how this became more of a weight loss podcast. But I think it's working though. This guy actually sent me a letter. He said, podcast success story. Dear Wilbur, you, sir, are a god amongst men. Ah, Jesus, I wish that was true. He goes, I used to be a depressed piece of shit. Your typical, the world is against me. Nobody likes me. Nobody wants me. Fucking moron. That's who I was. But your advice on stepping back and making fun of every negative annotation I have. Is that a word? Did he write that? Did he type that correctly or am I a more annotation? I don't know. Not to make you depressed again. I don't know how to spell. He goes, I have fucking changed my life. I'm 80 pounds lighter. I got a great girl and I've gotten two promotions. You're a comedian. You're not obligated to be Oprah or Maury, but you still make a difference. Thank you, sir, for knocking me back into cohesion. You probably make 20 times more than me. I doubt that, sir, with your two big promotions there. But I owe you a drink next time I see you if you're in Canada or Beantown. So you stay classy, sir. Ah, that's great. Good for you, sir. Look at that. He turned it around. Somehow my negative, whatever the fuck, my shaming, my fat shame, my for shame has been working. All right, enough about that shit. So that's what I'm doing. I'm drinking the, I'm doing that fat, sick, and nearly dead juicing thing, and it's like all green stuff. It's kale, celery, a couple of handfuls of parsley, cucumber, zucchini, and then a lime in to take the bitterness out. And I gotta tell you, it's fucking delicious. I love it. And I don't know. I think I'm gonna incorporate this in every couple of months. Just go back to that. Well, I'll just juice for like 4 or 5 days, just so I stay out in front of it. Just so I don't have to sit down one day and have that fucking beach ball. I got a thing on my button-down shirts. It's the third button down. When that button starts to look like it's doing the Iron Cross between both sides of my shirt, that's when I'm like, ah, you fucking jerk off. All right? And then what happens is I lay off the beer and then I just start slamming whiskey. Like that's my initial, we've begun our initial descent into our dieting, is I go from drinking pale ales to whiskey. I really am a freckled mess. All right. So anyways, I had a lot of downtime last week. I wasn't working. I had a couple days off from my episode of Glee. It's a really long episode. I can't believe how long they're filming this, but you know, I guess this is how they do it over there. Must have a hell of a budget. I got into, I went on Netflix and I started watching Ken Burns, The War. I know I'm like, that came out like 5-6 years ago. If you haven't seen it, if you're like me and you're late to the party, dude, like that's my recommendation for the week. It's a 7-parter on World War II. Each one's about 1 hour and 50 minutes long. And I know that sounds like I just told you to watch every episode of Lost. Just, it's effortless to watch this thing. Other than the amount of times you have to hit pause and go, Jesus Christ. I haven't done shit with my life. That's what it makes me feel like. Like I can't even begin to. You got it. You just got to watch it. You got to watch it. And what's great is it really ties the whole war together. Where for me, I've always seen like they'll always do stuff on it on the History Channel that they'll be talking about the war in the Pacific, or they'll talk about the Blitzkrieg. Or they'll talk about D-Day, and occasionally they'll talk about Northern Africa. But this thing kind of goes in chronological order of the whole damn thing. And it's I don't know. I can't explain it. It would be like, what the fuck was that movie that they showed, and they showed it backwards, and the guy tattooed shit on his arm? I can't remember what the fuck it was. It's like finally seeing that thing going forwards. It's just, it's unfucking real. What? Ah, Jesus, I'm too stupid to fucking just go watch the goddamn thing. Watching people 17 years old lying, saying they're 18, and just going out on the front lines and just listening to these fucking bombs whistling in, seeing all your friends getting blown up, and just having to resign to fate. Well, this one's either going to hit me or it isn't, and I'm still going to be fucking shooting at these guys. The stories that they talk about the guys who were flying over on the bombardiers before they had the escorts and shit, and you had to do 25 fucking missions before, you know, you had basically completed your obligation, and nobody had ever made it past 14. It's a fucking suicide mission. And they had a guy who actually survived the shit because he was in that little fucking skylight at the bottom of the plane. And he got shot in the fucking arm and went through him and killed one of his buddies. And then he still went back, flew another one and got shot again. And that's the thing that basically saved him, was because he kept getting shot, that he wasn't physically well enough to go back up in the goddamn plane again. And, you know, and I actually have the fucking nerve to be afraid of flying. I'm landing in fucking El Paso, Texas, going, oh, Jesus, oh, gee, there's nobody shooting at us. I never felt like such a fucking pussy in my life. I feel bad enough when I watch like a UFC event, you know, or I watch one of those shows about going to prison. You know, I watched the training for UFC and I would be like, I 3 times kicking that heavy bag with my leg, it would be all bruised up, and I'd be like, it stings, I want to get out of here. It's just, can I be the guy who washes the t-shirts? Can I mop up the mat that you guys wrestle on, you know? I don't know. Just whatever. Ken Burns, The War, and he's done a whole bunch of documentaries, and he's doing one right now that is that's about the Vietnam War. Now I'm all paranoid that I said his name wrong, you know? All of a sudden, that sounded like some guy in ESPN, but that's Kenny Mayne, right? Yeah, Ken Burns. There we go. All right, I got the right guy. All right, he's doing one right now. He's making one right now in the Vietnam War, which I'm definitely going to watch. You know, he already made one on the Civil War. So I'm like, I'm going to fucking watch all of these things. And then, I don't know, 6 months later, I'll forget most of it. I'll probably combine a couple, 2 or 3 wars. I'll get drunk and I'll just start spewing out information about Lincoln speaking in Iwo Jima. All right. Anyways, let's get on with the podcast. Highly recommend that if you get a chance. If you have 7 hours to kill, I highly recommend that. If you have chicken pox, it'd be a great way to forget about the itching for a good 7 hours. What else? Oh, tonight. Oh, last night. This is weird because I'm taping this on Sunday. Right now I'm taping this Sunday afternoon, New Orleans time. And I'm actually really excited, obviously, because the season five, I guess the second half of season five, the Breaking Bad premiere is tonight. Did I start like 12 sentences there? Let me try that again. The second half of the season five series premiere of Breaking Bad starts tonight. Do you guys ever wonder why I never became a game show host, as cheesy as I am? Or like ever like hosted the Family Feud or was standing next to Billy Bush, E! Entertainment. Like they have to read stuff. You know, I know I have the head to be on. I don't have the hairline, but I do have the head. You know, fucking who gives a shit? Anyways, Breaking Bad is coming back tonight, and I can't fucking wait. I thought there was only 5 episodes. You just found out there's 8. So I'm psyched about that, and I think I've already gotten past the sadness that it's ending. And I'm just talking as a fan. Forget about the fact that I used to, you know, get in there every once in a while. I can't wait for this thing to come out on box set and just go back and just go through that whole thing again. A couple months back, I actually watched the first 2 episodes of Breaking Bad and just seeing when, you know, Cranston's character, Walter White, has the hair and he's just meeting Jesse for the first time. Do you know, I don't know if this is true, but I heard that Jesse was actually, that character was going to, they were going to have him killed in the first few, but he was such a good actor, Aaron Paul, that they, or they liked the character so much. I don't know if that's true. I should stop fucking making up shit. I think I remember reading this. Like, why would you do that, Bill? Why would you? It's one of the few bridges you can actually cross in this business, and now you're going to burn it by putting out misinformation? What the fuck is wrong with you? Anyways, I was somewhere killing time. Oh, yesterday when I was in Chicago, and I was in the hotel, and they had a marathon on of those doomsday preppers, and they were all fucked. Do you know why all those doomsday preppers are fucked? Is because they're loners. They might survive some initial shit. They might last a month, they might last a year, but they're just, instead of ripping the Band-Aid off like me and just getting fucking, you know, bludgeoned to death within the first 24 hours or vaporized from something blowing up. That's my doomsday plan. My doomsday prepping that I do is that I live in probably the most dangerous city that you could possibly live in, as far as earthquakes, as far as the water supply, as far as the fucking inability to get the fuck out of there. I really should get a helicopter license and try to go on eBay and buy some fucking used chopper, because other than that, I'm fucked. But there's a peace that you gain from just being completely fucked. Is you just, yeah, what am I going to do? I'm fucked. All right. Oh, I got a great idea. I'm going to sell a doomsday prepper kit for people who don't want to prep. And what it's going to be, it's going to be a beautiful locket that you wear. They'll have a male one. It's a little more masculine. They'll put some spikes on it or some shit, for male or female. And when you open it up, there's one little cyanide pill in there. There you go. You just off yourself. The dollar's collapsing. There's fighting in the street. You just pop it in there. And that's it. It's over. You know? You want to live and be on dead body patrol? Going out there with your fucking ski mask on, having to bury all those cunts before they give out disease? Because that's what you're going to be doing if you survive. If you're a low-level human like myself, where you're really not bringing anything to the table, if they let you survive, if they decide out of the fucking blue to let you survive, that's what you're going to be. That's going to be your first fucking jobs. Other than getting naked and having them throw fucking lye all over you, whatever they fuck, lime? Is that what they throw? Lye. lime all over you to get rid of the body lice. Your job, you're going to go out there in some sort of Tarzan fucking bikini bottoms with that powdered sugar all over you, and you're going to just start, you're going to have, it's going to be it. So my suggestion is either get some cyanide or learn how to operate a backhoe. Because other than that, if you survive, you're going to be standing there with a shovel getting a fucking sunburn that the modern world has never seen. Anyways, I'm watching this Doomsday Prepper thing, and they got all these guys doing this shit, and they got this one dude who's just, you know, he's got like fucking 3 years worth of shit. He's got flat screen TV. He's got all his fucking stuff down. I love the flat screen TV. That's hilarious to me. Like, it's the end of the world, but somehow cable still exists. Somehow somebody is at the head of Cable Central, wherever that is, flipping the switch so you can see the final 8 episodes of Breaking Bad. Despite the fact everybody connected with Hollywood is now gone. Except for Wesley Snipes. I'm sure he's got a bunker somewhere. Yeah, if you got the balls to not pay the government taxes, you have a strategy in place. Plus, just even if that shit, even if he didn't take martial arts, just the sword swinging alone that he had to learn, the choreography, that would scare the fuck out of most zombies and they turn the other way, right? So he's got all of this stuff and he's sitting there talking about, he's still afraid of the Russians and a nuclear holocaust. He's been prepping for 30 years because that's basically what they used to scare the shit out of us about. I came in the tail end of it in the 70s. And this guy was older than me, so they psychologically fucked this guy up so bad that he was now, you know, stockpiling this hole in the ground. And then he found out that recently declassified information said that the Russians had detonated some fucking, I don't know, 200 megaton fucking something or other. The biggest bomb ever detonated, they did it. And he realized that he wasn't deep enough. So he went out and he bought this big steel fucking tube. And the whole time he's doing this, this guy is like 200 pounds overweight. And it's like, dude, you better deal with that first. Like, you're going to drop of a fucking heart attack before they drop a fucking bomb on us. And he finally addressed it. He said, you know, I probably should get myself in better shape. Of course, he was sitting down the entire time. And even with the T-shirt on, the guy was so fucking fat, you could tell that he was finished. But, So I actually liked the guy because he finally addressed the fact that he was out of shape and needed to do something about it. But towards the end, there was this 15-year-old kid who since the age of 12, maybe he was a little bit older. When was 2008? That was 5 years ago. He was about 17. He was 12 when the 2008 banking collapse happened. So he went on and the internet and he started reading up on banks and probably saw the conspiracy theory that I did. And it scared the fucking shit out of him as a 12-year-old. And this fucking kid has been like scavenging / stealing shit wherever he can because he doesn't have any money. And he has all these guns and he has these fucking swords and shit. He dresses in fatigues and stuff. And his mother is just sitting there going like, you know, I always wanted a normal son. I don't know why. He feels he has to do this, and now he's brought a friend into a fold, and then they brought a friend into the fold, and he brought a third person into the fold, and it's literally like, lady, did you see Columbine? All right, I'm not saying this kid is like that, but like, what the fuck are you doing? Her big parental moment was he's not allowed to go to the gun range without her. She goes there and lets him practice. And this fucking kid was great. His spread was basically from, you know, one ventricle to the fucking other. All right? Is there two ventricles? Or is that an aorta? I don't fucking know. I'll Google map the heart at the end of this. Yeah, he was basically hitting it all center mass. Right around your fucking heart, right? But then he goes home and he's got the ammo and he has the guns in his fucking bedroom. And, you know, he's like, I'm thankful to grow up with guns. He didn't even have a southern accent. Why am I fucking trashing the South again? He had this fucking awful haircut. He didn't have a girlfriend. He's a fucking, he's going down this rabbit hole and she's just letting him do it. And I found it really disturbing. I don't find it disturbing when, like, I see those kids smiling and they have rifles and their parents have gotten them into hunting. I know people out where I live and when I lived in New York City, they freak out about that stuff. Really intolerant of it. You know, as they eat a fucking chicken burrito. But I don't. I think you should know how to hunt and do all that type of shit. You know what I know I could fucking kill? I could kill a pig, a wild boar. I would love to go out and do that. Fucking shoot that thing. You know? Now I want to hear from the rednecks out there. What am I in for? If I miss and that thing comes up on me, don't they just start fucking eating you? They're pigs, right? They fucking eat anything. Would I scare them? Or would I look like one of those white chocolate covered pretzels? They'd think my freckles were salt. They'd be all over it. Would it be okay? Can somebody, you know, next time I do one of my southern tours here, can you guys take me pig hunting? And I want to fucking do it up. I'm going to go Rambo style with a crossbow, but I do want to have a backup Uzi. And I know if you're a redneck, I know you have a fucking Uzi that's been fucking handed down since the 80s, whenever the fuck Uzis came out before laws prevented you from getting them. It's for, well, I'm hunting quail. Is this America? All right, let's get into some questions for the week here. I'll read the last couple of advertisers. Why don't I do that? All right, here we go. Had a bad first quarter. I did great in the second quarter. Let's get out. We got another 30 minutes. Let's win this game. Here we go, the last couple. LegalZoom, everybody. Most Americans don't have a will. But why? You don't want government rules dictating what happens to your property and minor children, do you? So why procrastinate? Most people say it's too expensive. Or it's too time-consuming. My answer is LegalZoom.com. Too expensive? You're going to love LegalZoom's reasonable prices. Too time-consuming? Most people finish the online process in just 20 minutes. And we're not talking some fill-in-the-blank BS form here. Your will is state-specific and personalized based on your information. Best of all, LegalZoom has 12 years of experience helping people with important legal matters. It's National Make-A-Will Month. Again this month. So don't wait any longer. Go to LegalZoom.com today and get 15% off your last will. But this offer ends soon. Or get a living trust and you will receive a pour-over will absolutely free. To get your special discount, be sure to enter BURR, B-U-R-R, in the referral box at checkout. For wills, power of attorney, trust, and more, go to LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom can provide self-help services at your specific direction or connect you with an attorney, but they are not a law firm. God dang it, I had it till the end. All right. E-Voice. You're screening calls, closing deals, and making money, all while lounging poolside in the summer sun. Thanks to E-Voice. E-Voice is a better way to connect with your people that drive your business. E-Voice will forward your business calls to your home, mobile, or any number you choose. Wherever you are, E-Voice will find you. If you don't have time to take a call, it's routed to your voicemail, and you can read it at your convenience as a text message. E-Voice not only gives you an edge over your competitors, it takes away the edge the big companies have over you right now. That's a huge point right there, people. I hope you were listening. With E-Voice, you can create the appearance of a whole office building of departments when customers call you. A sales department, customer support, tech support, you name it, it's going to seem like you have it. And it works with any phone, even yourself. Hey, it's summer. Don't be stuck in your office all day. Free yourself with a free 30-day trial of eVoice so you can see what I'm talking about. Go to eVoice.com and enter the promo code Bill for your 30-day free trial. That's eVoice.com, promo code Bill. Or go to the podcast page, BillBurr.com, and click on the eVoice banner. And now it's time for the stairway to heaven of advertisers here. The last and final one, Stamps.com, everybody. Pretend you have a wad of cash in your hand. Now imagine throwing it in the trash. That's exactly what you're doing when you're leasing one of those expensive postage meters for your small business. Long-term commitments, maintenance, and reset fees, expensive ink. It's crazy. I know a better way. What is it? Stamps.com, everybody. With Stamps.com, you get all the benefits of a postage meter and more at a fraction of the cost. Just use your own computer and printer to get official U.S. postage for any envelope, any package, any class of mail. Plus, no more time-consuming trips to the post office. Everything you would do at the post office, you can do it right now from your own desk with Stamps.com. I use Stamps.com to send out whatever the hell I'm selling that week after my shows. T-shirts, posters, DVDs, whatever you want. And if I can use it, you can use it because I am a moron and I have the high school transcript to prove it. Right now, use my last name, Burr, for this special offer. No risk trial plus $110 bonus offer. It includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. What the hell are you waiting for? Go to stamps.com right now before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the page, homepage, and type in Burr, B-U-R-R, that's stamps.com, enter Burr. All right, there you go. There you go, into the wild blue yonder. All right, let's get into the reads for this week. Italy. Hey, Bill, you mentioned a couple of weeks ago that you were thinking about going to Italy and you wanted some advice about where to go. My lady is Italian, so I've been there a bunch of times. Here's the deal. First, you should decide if you want to see the north or the south. The north is more industrialized with lots of interesting cities. Yeah, and San Marino, too. All right, isn't that where the blue bloods stay? Good food and has a more vibrant urban feel. The south is more country style with good weather and beautiful nature. I think I kind of like that. You could think of it being very roughly like the difference between New England and the south back in the States. In the winter, the north will be pretty cold and the south will be a little more balmy. They both are the shit. All right, cool. And where's Rome? Rome's like right in the middle. I got to get to know that type of stuff. I can't wait to go. That's what I'm going to do right before my European tour is I'm going to go to Italy for a couple of days, like 2-3 days. Why the fuck wouldn't you? If you're going to be over there anyways, I'll get acclimated to the time change while eating some of the best food on the planet. I mean, my two favorite kinds of food is Italian and Japanese. Those are my two favorites. I love them both. Fucking delish. So I got to figure out where I'm going to go. And because I only have 3 days, I don't want to go there and try and do a bunch of things. I think I just want to go there and eat. I'm big into stadiums. Maybe I would see the Roman Colosseum, but, I think I just want to, I don't know what I want to do. I just want to eat in some fucking just great place and taste really clean food. With like what I so respect about Italians is how much they give a shit about the food making process. You know, I've told this shit before. I used to know more Italian guys back in the day when I was living in Boston, and I swear to God, they would watch me make a meal and it would like be upsetting them, and eventually they just have to take over and be like, just get out of here. It like they would watch you fucking up a piece of meat, and it would it would upset them, you know? So you got to respect that. All right, here we go. Salads. Oh, by the way, that's another great part in the Ken Burns documentary is, you know, I always saw Mussolini giving the speeches. Oh, he's got one great one where he keeps doing this thing with his hand. Like, he's just fucking talking shit. Like, Hitler makes me want to speak German, and Mussolini makes me want to speak Italian. Just watching their speeches, watching Hitler screaming and yelling. Like, you know, we speak right now, we suck, I'm sick of this shit. I mean, is that what he's saying? I want to know what the fuck is he yelling about. And Mussolini, that look of confidence on his face, I just want to hear what the fuck he's talking about. I'm sure there's transcriptions, but it's got to be better if you actually know the language. And I got that fucking Irish thing where I got to do everything the hard way. So all I would ever see was him, Mussolini giving the speeches and then him fucking hanging by the meat hook, him with his fucking girlfriend. And I always wondered what the hell had happened. I didn't know that he had gotten captured. And then the Nazis came in and freed him. You know, like the fucking Expendables or some shit. Is that a right reference? I never saw one of those movies, but that seemed like what they were doing, like they were rescuing people. And then he got caught again. And he tried to talk his way out of it again. And his last words was basically saying no. Like, no, no, no. Jesus fucking Christ. What a fucking way to go out. You know, I've been talking about that in my act. It's just that guy in like a year's time, he went from just like having boy band fame and everybody screaming and throwing bras at him and shit to be like on his knees like, nah, nah. They killed him and his woman. I love it too. It was his mistress. I believe that's what they call. I don't fucking remember. I'm already starting to forget the shit. And then they brought him into town. And everybody was kicking him, and his face, they just kicked the shit out of his face, and they're spitting on him, and they hung him by a meat hook. It's like, what happened? You know, you think it's bad to be like, you know, in O-Town? Try being a fucking dictator, man. That's, it's brutal. It just does, that's why they never have a behind the music for dictators, because you know how it, for the most part, how it fucking ends. You don't end... You know, you're not lying in bed, you know, going through some fucking Buddhist, this is the death process, you know, where they teach you how to die peacefully and you're surrounded by fucking loved ones or whatever. This is the exact opposite of that shit. Hitler blew his brains out. What's his face? Mussolini. I just told you what the fuck happened to him. Saddam Hussein. They dragged him out of a fucking hole. He went out like a gangster, though, man. That Jesus Christ. He refused the hood. They put the rope around his neck, and he was getting heckled. This is his shit, like when people talk about, you know, when they go and they look at comics getting heckled and taking on the crowd. He has to have the best one for dictators. He was standing there, and he's getting heckled, and he's giving him shit right back with a fucking rope around his neck. You got to respect that, man. I would have been like Mussolini, nah, come on. I'd be trying to fucking wriggle my fat head out of it. I definitely would have taken the hood. Who else? Oh, the fatty over there in Little Fat Boy in Korea. I wonder how he died. He's probably watching like Little House on the Prairie or something. He was a weird guy. He was into movies and shit. He lived... It's very few that actually get to make it that far, you know? They get to continue work. It's like actors who get to continue working on into their 70s and still doing, like, Oscar-winning work. It's very difficult. Most people fall by the wayside. All right, Bill, we get it. Okay, all right, you know, I'm into that shit. All right, salads. Hey, Bill, I would like to get into eating more salads, but I am only 20. And what the fuck do I know about salads? Dude, I didn't know shit about salads. I wish I started eating salads when I was 20. I wouldn't have this fucking mess. Ugh, Jesus Christ. And it's pasty. It's even worse. Should I get into spinach? Some good old iceberg lettuce? What do I put in salad? What's the point of making a salad if I just cover it with ranch dressing and put a bunch of bacon on it? I'm not even sure what balsamic vinaigrette is. Is a boiled egg a good thing to put in? Guidance is appreciated. Got to be a dick here and say, ha ha, Blackhawks won. Well, you won. You get to fucking brag about it, you cunt. Listen, I don't know shit about nutrition. I'm just starting to learn about it. I know iceberg lettuce is like 90% water, I think. Spinach is good shit. I like that. I like arugula. Kale's awesome. And, yeah. Don't go through all the crap of eating that shit and then put a bunch of dressing on it because, you know, you're adding all those extra calories. I guess balsamic vinaigrette. This is all shit that I've overheard. I heard that that's a healthier one. But even then, I try to avoid drowning it. And what's great about it is when you start eating them, you start craving them. And that becomes one meal a day. And that's just, you know, you got to start looking at like a steak and cheese sandwich or something like that. A pizza. That's just, it's just a plate full of sit-ups. You know, I fucking hate going to the gym. I like going to the gym because I want to look good. I hate going to the gym because I fucking have to go, which is what I'm doing right now, which sucks. You know what's another bad one is when you're fucking sitting up in bed like I am and you hold your iPhone up to you and you get the reflection of like your fucking nine chins. Start to get that pelican neck. Anyways. So There's a bunch of recipes out there. You can find it. But I would, I'd stay away from iceberg. That stinks. Romaine is like, that's like halfway decent. All right. Iceberg lettuce, they're like the, I don't know. Well, you want to go sports on this one? We'll go sports. And I'm not talking about what they're going to do this year, what they did last year. I would just say what they've done in my lifetime. All right, iceberg lettuce is like the fucking Detroit Lions, even though they're good now. They weren't then, so that's probably a bad example. The Cleveland Browns of lettuce. Sorry, everybody in Cleveland. Although I did promote your city, and I saw a lot of fucking construction going on there. Romaine lettuce is like that fucking team that every once in a while makes the playoffs but never fucking wins it. That's like the Falcons of lettuce. And then you get into arugulas, the Cowboys. Kale, I would say, is the 49ers. And I don't know what, or I don't know, maybe I should have said the Packers and Steelers. Or the Steelers and the Packers. Packers are the most successful. So I'd say they're kale. I'd say Steelers. Just shut the fuck up, Bill. Okay. Russian guy outwits Banks. Oh, I like this one already. Hey, Bill, thought you might enjoy reading this article about a Russian man who outwitted a bank by writing his own terms into their credit card contract. Jesus Christ, that's fucking phenomenal. How the hell did... That's like beating Bruce Lee at karate. Or kung fu. Or jing feng ku, whatever the fuck he did. Article, here we go. The idea of beating the banks at their own game may seem like a rich joke, but Dmitry Agarkov, I don't know, 42-year-old Russian man. Sounds like he plays for the Red Wings, doesn't he? 42-year-old Russian man may have managed to do it. Unhappy with the terms of an unsolicited credit card offer he received from an online bank, Tinkoff Credit System, Agarkov, sorry if you're listening, and I'm butchering this, or if you're of Russian descent. He scanned the document, wrote in his own terms, and sent it through. The bank approved the contract without reading the amended fine print, unwittingly agreeing to a 0% interest rate, unlimited credit, and no fees, as well as a stipulation that the bank pays steep fines for changing or canceling the contract. The bank has so much money, they'll be able to get around this. But what, that's fucking genius. What a hero. Agarkov used the card for 2 years, but the bank ultimately canceled it and sued Agarkov for $1,363. The bank said he owed them charges, interest, and late payment fees. A court ruled that because of the no fee, no interest stipulation Agarkov had written in, he owed only his unpaid $575 balance. Look at this. 2 minutes left in the game, people. Is he going to win this or what? Agarkov is now suing the bank for $727,000 for not honoring the contract's term. And the bank is hollering fraud. They signed the documents without looking. They said what usually their borrowers say in court. We've not read it. Agarkov's lawyer said, the shoe's on the other foot now. Sorry, I really butchered the ending of that reading. So, well, I got to pay attention to that. Well, they'll settle out of court. I don't know, man. That's a hard... I mean, the fact that you just got out of paying the fees. I got to put this in my computer here. I want to pay attention to that. Agarkov, Russian bank case. Okay, so it's still at that point. Hey, anybody in Russia listen to this thing? Can you please keep me abreast of this? I want to see if he gets any of that $727,000. All right? I'm going to do a little pregame analysis here. I'll tell you right now, I got to tell you, if I'm the bank, I got to be thinking, how did we end up in this situation? I would actually guess that they're not going to pay any of that. They probably got enough politicians and judges in their pockets. I mean, it's corrupt enough over here. I can't imagine what the fuck it's like over there. No offense, but it is what it is. Yeah, if anybody, I don't know, in Estonia, Latvia, if you're close enough, you can pay attention and let me know. I'd appreciate it. Lithuania, the Ukraine, Belarus, look at me. Huh? I've learned some shit. I'm an attention whore, Bill. Bill Burr Marshall. I'm a 16-year-old guy, and I've recently come to terms with the fact that I love attention. In most instances, this would not be too big of a deal. I mean, look at you. You made a career out of it. Hey, listen, you fucking cunt. Just because you found out that you're a dick, you don't got to rub up against me and get your stink on me. You know? Did I say I didn't like fucking attention, you asshole? Jesus Christ. You know, I was actually going to compliment you with the fact that you actually could step outside yourself and see something that could potentially be a flaw. Wanting attention is not a bad thing. It's all how you do it. You know? All right, here we go. I constantly sit in class loudly cracking jokes and can usually get the whole class laughing. Plus, I don't have to worry about the teachers yelling at me because I'm such a manipulative son of a bitch that I have ensured that they all like me. Here's the problem. My friends hate it. All right, this is taking a different turn here. The jokes I make with them are far different. I actually think they're funny. You see, the jokes I make to the whole class are shitty, hacky, cheap, cheesy, douchey jokes targeting a group laugh. The jokes I make with my friends are normally riffing on something. They might actually be creative. Oh, all right. So you're kind of, when you're with your friends, you're actually a comics comic. But when you're in front of the crowd, you're playing to the masses. Well, you got to pick a road here, son. Or maybe you don't. I mean, it's not like you're trying to be a comedian, or maybe you are. If you're going to be a comedian, I would try to make the crowd laugh at the jokes and make your friends laugh. All right, here we go. Now I know the simple solution seems to be stop being a class clown, but I just love the attention. I'm so emotionally undeveloped that I crave the class approval and attention. Dude, you're not emotionally undeveloped. This is unbelievable that you have this sort of knowledge of self at 16. I certainly didn't. What you know at 16, I don't think I knew till I was 36. So you're in a good situation here. He goes, I love being the center of the class, making everyone laugh, despite knowing that I'm being fake and not myself. What should I do? Should I stop cracking the shit jokes in class, or should I tell my friends to get over it and keep being that guy? Thanks and go fuck yourself. First of all, I don't know what the fuck your friends have a problem with. I mean, how bad are these jokes you're saying? And you're basically, what you're doing is, in class, sounds like the first, I don't know, 3 to 6, 7, 8 years of being a stand-up comedian. Where once you figure out how to make the crowd laugh, you then try to be like, well, I want to be like, say what I really want to talk about up here. Basically, find your voice. So, I don't think that you should make a change because of your friends. I think you should make a change because you want to make the change. You know, wouldn't that make sense? If you like the attention and that type of shit, who gives a fuck? But if you want to take your class clownery to the next level, I would go with some of the more creative stuff. You don't have to always go with the shit joke, but I have to commend you. That you, when I used to be a class clown, I would always get in trouble, and the teachers didn't like me. So the fact that you're able to do that is great. And I think you're going to be real successful in life. You could do anything. Politics, show business, sales. If you can actually talk to a crowd, that really puts you ahead of the game, I would think. All right, he also says, P.S., as a Blackhawks fan, I would just like to personally thank Boston fans for being so classy, respectful, and dare I say saint-like. From the bottom of my heart, my Blackhawk heart, I would like to personally thank each and every Bruin fan. You are all models of fandom. Thank you for fucking mocking that. Or just trying to rub it in. I don't give a shit at this point. That seemed like years ago. And we just won a cup. So I'm good. So congratulations to you, sir. Good luck with trying to find your voice as a class clown. All right, goddamn ex-girlfriend. Dear Billy Boy, your podcast is killer, man. Thanks. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And he says, I'm writing you to get some insight on my ex-girlfriend's situation. About 6 months ago, my ex dumped my ass and totally crushed my heart. That's the worst. You got to go through it, though. He says, I was fucked up for a while, but took some of your advice and focused on improving my own shit. I never called her, texted her, or did any asshole. since for 6 months. A couple of months ago, she texts me. Ah, fucking, I knew it. I knew it. Now, without reading this thing, she's texted you. Now, either she legitimately wants to get back together with you, which if you still love her, that would be a good thing. Or whatever the fuck she, whatever life path she went down over the last 6 months has hit a hard, has hit a bump in the road, and maybe she's having second thoughts, or maybe she's completely evil. And she's like, wow, he just never called me again. Why don't I call him up and mind fuck him? Those are my three guesses on the cunt genie lamp there. All right, so she texted me. She wanted to know what I've been up to and how I was doing. She also wanted to know why I unfriended her on Facebook. And he writes, why do you think, you dumb cunt? Now, wait a minute. Did you unfriend her because of my advice, or did you do that on your own? That's a great thing. You got to get cut the cancer out. You can't be watching what the fuck she's doing. All you're doing is prolonging that pain in your heart. You got to, I'm telling you, you got to cut off all contact, and then you got to go Chris Bosch, where you just got to drop to your knees a couple times a day and cry it out. Don't be afraid to fucking do that. Now, I wouldn't do it in front of a bunch of men, but, you know, do it on your own. Like, as a man, you have to understand that the reason why you're able to cry is because you're supposed to. Because if you don't, you keep it in your chest, and it becomes anger, and then you yell at your kids. All right. I resisted the urge to tell her to go fuck herself and kept my responses cool and casual. Dude, you are on the road to a post-breakup blowjob. That's where you are right now. Let's see if you keep the car on the road. Here is my question. How the fuck do broads know when you are finally getting over them and that they should get a hold of you and make you feel like shit again? Also, do you see? I knew it. Also, do you think it's a dick move to get a hold of an ex if you're the one who dumped them when they haven't gotten a hold of you since the breakup? Finally, how do you think I should handle this going forward? Well, you know what? You basically learned one of life's tough lessons. Is that, you know something? I might be being a dickhead. Like, maybe guys do this shit too. All right? Guys do this shit too. You got those guys who, they break up with a girl, but then they keep her in, they try to, like, hold on to her so no one else can fuck her. You know, guys who do that shit. So this is really like, I'm being a sexist moron as usual. I'm coming from the male perspective. That's all I got. All right? Trying to show a little empathy here. How do they know? I don't know. But they're great at it. So rather than trying to figure it out, because I don't know that you can as a guy, just respect that they have that ability. All right? You might want to consider changing your cell phone number so she can't text/mindfuck you again. They're just the fucking worst. They're just the fucking worst. In that situation, dude, you got to walk away from them, man. So I can't even remember what the fuck you asked me. I'm going through all the breakups I've been through mentally right now. All right, so the first thing you said is, how the fuck do broads know when you're finally over them? I don't know. Change your cell phone number. It's my solution. Also, do you think it's a dick move to get a hold of an ex? If you have no intention of getting back with them, yes, I do. And you have to accept the guilt that you feel, that you broke somebody's heart. And you have to own that. You can't, like, call in. Just call in to make sure you're doing okay. You're not helping that other person. If you have no intent, you're giving them a half a second of hope, and then, you know, you're ruining them. You got to let them go. And lastly, how do you think I should handle this going forward? Yeah, I would say don't respond to her texts or even then, just her texting you and seeing your name and knowing that she's thinking about you, and your heart's still going to be like, well, maybe she wants to get back together. I would just change your number. Start over again. Go Bill Bixby. Get a backpack. Walk out of town. Do, 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 do. Go down the fucking street. Start working out. Get some new women in your life. That's another thing. Go out there. Go hit kid on something he thinks out of your league. Who gives a shit? Go have a good time. Hitting on a girl that's so-called out of your league is like playing a sport against people who are better than you. It makes you better. It ups your game. All right? So then when you play against somebody who's only a little out of your league, you're used to playing beyond, and you're not nervous. You're used to that speed. You know? Does that make any fucking sense? I hope it does. Anyways, that is the podcast for this week, everybody. Thank you, as always, for everybody who's contributed with the questions and everything. That really is the last half of this podcast every week. And also, I forgot to mention that the last couple of weeks, if you'd like to support this podcast, a very easy way is if you plan on buying on something on Amazon.com, just go to BillBurr.com first, click on the podcast page, and click on the Amazon banner that we have. That'll take you right to Amazon. And you don't have to do shit after that. It doesn't change the prices of anything. They kick me a percentage of the sale for driving traffic their way. I take a percentage of that, send it to the Wounded Warriors Project. So it's a 2-for-1 as far as supporting me and supporting the Wounded Warriors Project. And also hard copy versions of my DVD, of my stand-up special, sorry. DVD copies are available on my website. And also available for download for $5. And it's the you people are all the same. So people have asked me when I'm doing another special. I've begun talks about planning about doing one in the first half of next year. I do them every other year. That's basically how it works. I spend 1 year having fun, writing a new hour, and then I spend the next year fine-tuning it, and then when I'm done with that, then I shoot it. That's basically what I do, and that's the formula. It's been working for me, so I'm sticking with it. And then also, people in Scotland have been asking me about am I still doing Scotland, because I didn't see a date. I am definitely doing a date. Things got moved around. I'm doing two shows in London. I'm still doing one in Scotland. It's going to be at this theater. I forget the name of it. But I'm somewhere around the 4th or the 5th of December or something like that. But hopefully at some point this week I'm going to get an official date and I'm going to tweet about it. I will Facebook about it and I will podcast about it next week. And thank you to everybody over there who's been buying up the tickets. It's starting off really strong. And somebody actually sent me a link for the advertisement in Stockholm. And it was really cool. It was, other than my name, obviously, it's all written in fucking Swedish and shit. And it's just, it's the coolest fucking thing ever. That there's people on the other side of the world speaking a different language and they're writing about a show that you're going to go over there and go do, you know? It's fucking awesome. So, anyways, I'm really excited about that and all the shit that I have coming up. By the way, if you're not into motorcycle racing, or you'd like to get into it, they got one of their Grand Prix, I think it's in Indianapolis or something, somewhere in the States this weekend coming up on August 18th, I believe. I'm actually going to watch it now that I got a motorcycle license. I watched that documentary on Netflix about all those motorcycle races and that type of shit. It's just fucking the balls that takes. It's like you're in a Formula One car, except you don't have a roll cage around you. It's unfucking real, the balls that takes. So I'm hopefully going to have time to watch it next Sunday. I'm definitely going to try to find a bar out here. And once again, thanks to everybody in New Orleans. Been having a great time coming around town, going to the open mics, doing the stand-up shows. Been getting a wonderful reception, and I've been trying out a lot of new stuff. So I'm having a ball down here. I'm going to be down here for another week and a half. And then I'm back up. Where the hell do I go? I go up to Connecticut to do the MGM. And then I do, I think, the University of Cincinnati. And then I'm back out to LA. And that's the deal, everybody. That's the podcast. Go fuck yourselves. Have a great week. And I'll see you later.